service today, and whether you're at church this beautiful morning or at home, delighted that you've been able to join us. Our announcements this morning, I just want to give some information, if I may, about our vacancy, please. Our voters list is now being prepared and should be available for circulation this week. Inclusion on the list is in line with the code for the Presbyterian Church, and there's a letter included with the information that you will get which gives the definition of qualification as a voter. Every effort has been made, of course, for accuracy, but please check the list carefully, and if you find any errors in it, get in touch. Now, if you want further qualification and clarification, you can contact me, or if you feel so strongly you want to make an objection, then that should be with me in writing with your reasons by this day fortnight, Sunday the 9th of May. And my contact details are on the letter that will be delivered to your house this week. Now, a day of prayer has been organised by the prayer team for Thursday the 6th of May. That's Thursday week. It will be from 10 a.m. in the morning until noon and 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. in the evening. And the focus will be on selecting our new minister. Now, if you want to come, don't feel you have to stay for 2 hours in the morning. You can pop in, say some time for quiet prayer, and then leave again quietly. So I would encourage as many as possible to take advantage of this opportunity so that we can all focus our minds on our new minister. Flowers, we invited you last week to put some flowers or to go onto the flower list. If you want to do so, talk to Maureen Greer. There is a restriction on flowers at the minute, of course, in that we can't take them out to someone in the congregation. So if you provide the flowers, you will have to take them away again afterwards and make them up for your home or for anyone else. Now, if you've read your Ballycrocken update, which went out this week, you would have seen something called OLIO, O-L-I-O. Don't ask me what it stands for because I've looked it up and I can't work it out. However, I know what it means. It means the sharing of leftover food. And supermarkets have in the past had wastage at the end of the day and disposed of their leftover food. They're now trying to preserve the world's gifts, if you wish, and they are making that leftover food free. They're making it free to particular organisations, and we are one such organisation. So Tesco have linked in with us, and on a Monday night, any leftover food that there is delivered to Ballycrocken. Kim Fitzsimons is looking after it, but Kim could do with a wee bit of help, so if you feel you could do an hour or two on a Monday night with Kim, then have a word with her. The food itself is perfectly good food. There's nothing the matter with it. It's within final using day, and we encourage you to take advantage of it. And, of course, there is no charge, none whatsoever. So if you want to know any information on it, talk to Kim, please. Tonight at 7:30 on YouTube, we have Life Lounge. There are two guests tonight, both former members of our congregation, I'm delighted to say. Nikki Bradley, you'll remember Nikki, daughter of the Reverend Douglas and Mrs. Janice Bradley. Nikki is now the Children's Director at Knock Presbyterian Church. And Sonia Mahoney is the other guest, former member as well. And Sonia is now the Regional Director of the UK and Ireland for Young Life. So those should be two very interesting interviews, and I encourage you to look in on them. The walk, which had to be postponed because of COVID regulations, it hasn't stopped people contributing. We've now received up to £3,500, £3,550. So great appreciation for the money that's been donated. And I know that some people have privately said, well, I'm going to do the walk anyway, and they've gone off on their own to do it. And I know the committee will talk about that again this week. So there may be some further guidance on how you can complete your contribution to the walk. And finally, a weekly reminder, Jim McKnight will be here tomorrow, 12 o'clock to 1. He'll receive contributions for Storehouse, and he'll receive any weekly offerings that people wish to bring. Those are the announcements this morning. Thank you. And it's my pleasure. I invite Colin to lead our service. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. I'm getting really good vibes from all these announcements. I think it's great that, you know, everybody's busy and doing and taking good care, but that we are active and out there and playing our part as a congregation. And that is very encouraging indeed. And of course, I'm always kept up to speed with pastoral situations, as many as possible, and I receive a very good brief from your session clerk, and elders are in touch and other members are in touch with Billy, and that filters through to me, and that means that I can make a wee call, albeit even a phone call, just to say hello to various people in situations of challenge or indeed of celebration. So it's good to see you this morning, good to be back again, and just to say that the vacancy is now proceeding, as Billy has shared with you about the voters list and the preparation for that. That's always a really good flag to see during a vacancy, you know, the voters list. It's now beginning to transfer into the whole realm of the hands of the people within the congregation, and it'll be no time at all before I'm representing the Kirk session along with your clerk, asking for the suggestion of names. But we need to get through the voters list and have it clarified first, and then we'll receive names from you and from your Kirk session of people who you would like to perhaps be considered as candidates for the vacancy. So there is interest already. People are getting in touch with me in the privacy, in the background. They're getting in touch with me, and so there is interest in Ballycrocken's vacancy. So one step at a time. We're trying not to go too fast. We're trying not to drag our heels either, and so we're just trying to keep it fairly steady as we go. This morning's service is designed along the lines of what I've been doing with you when I've been coming on the last Sunday of the month. The theme of the service is based around Old Testament stories, and in those Old Testament stories there are symbols. There's prophetic symbolism reaching forward into our lives as Christians today. I was just saying to Billy before the service, I take great encouragement from the big stories of the Old Testament, as well as the important testimony of the New. But we don't leave the Old Testament behind. We enjoy it very much, enjoy those big stories, and interpret many of the themes and stories there into our lives today as Christian people. We can have wonderful encouragement, because God has not changed. God is still God, God of both testaments of Scripture. So the line has flowed through the Scriptures, the different steps and stages, and we are a people who are heartened. So I would introduce to you, as we approach our praises today, this verse that comes from the Psalms. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And this, of course, is wording that comes from Psalm number 100. Verses 2, 4, and 5. You can read that again later on in the service. But this key, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And so we're going to sing our first praise together, which is Cornerstone, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Thank you. Let us bow together for prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Father, we thank you for your call that we should enter your gates with thanksgiving and bring praise in a spirit of joy to you. Lord, we thank you that your character does not change. We can rely upon you, your promises are true. And we praise you, God, that you have reached out to us, that you have revealed yourself in so many ways throughout the millennia of time. And we are a grateful people, as we know you to be our Father God, the Creator, the Mighty One, the Eternal One, yet still the one who seeks to be known as Father, the one who has given to us your only begotten Son, that we, through his ministry, may be the ransomed, the healed, restored and forgiven. And so in our believing in you, O God, we have bowed the knee personally and devotedly, who receive you and your ministry, that we may be the cleansed. And so we praise you that the name of Jesus is esteemed as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and we are a people saved by grace. In that spirit, O God, we pray that you will fill us with your strength of the Holy Spirit, that we may be a people, as individuals, as a fellowship, as a denomination, as a kingdom of God throughout the world, who will grow in the knowledge, in the practice, and in the devotion of our faith. May we be a people inspired from deep within, our relationship with you conscious and living. Draw us, we pray, O God. Fill us with wisdom and insight and energy, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, it's good to know that some of the young people are within the church, and others are continuing to watch from home. And in recent times, I've been trying to have a Bible memory verse for the boys and girls, and truth be told, for us all, it's good to commit scripture to memory. And of course, many of you were brought up in Sunday school days when to learn the scriptures was an important thing, and it hasn't changed. To learn the Bible, the wisdom of God, is still a very important thing to do. So the memory verse for today is taken from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I think that's a wonderful verse of scripture. It's calling us to look to God, and God will make our paths straight. So I wonder, can we encourage the young people and the boys and girls by saying this together? Some of them watching the service now, others will be watching it later. Let's try this from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And we'll break it down into two halves. Let's start with this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the first bit. Now let's say it one more time. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and He will make your paths straight. And he will make your paths straight. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. And I would like the boys and girls to take that little verse away into their thinking and into their lives, because this is very important. Now, I hope you're sitting comfortably. And the boys and girls at home, no doubt, are sitting comfortably. Those who are over at Sunday school are hopefully sitting comfortably too. Strikes me that you are putting a little bit of trust into the chair that's holding you up. Now, I could have gone round to make this a very interesting children's address. I could have gone round and taken the screws out of six of the chairs. No, we are trusting those chairs to hold us up. Although I had an experience recently where I did sit on a chair and it did give way. I blamed the chair. The chair blamed me. Anyway, we could say, did you sleep well last night? Reasonably well. Good. Well, you were investing trust in that bed, weren't you? You were investing trust that it would hold you up and that you wouldn't be in trouble during the night. Boys and girls, I'm thinking about you. You probably get a lift to school. You get into the back seat of the car. You put your seatbelt on, and the journey is probably not too long. But you're investing trust in mum or dad or the friend, whoever it is, to drive you to school and to get you there safely. And it's good to trust. And we are all people who have to invest trust in our lives, whether we're very young or older. We know that, especially when we are very familiar with our families, we know them well, know friends well, we trust. Trust grows, it deepens, it develops. But it strikes me it's also good to take heed of what our teachers have always said to us and what our parents have always taught us about not talking to strangers or accepting sweets from them or getting into their cars, because that's a totally different thing. And that's when we must be wise and take that advice on board too. But our memory verse is talking about trusting God, because he knows the way. He wants us to trust him so that we will know the way forward in our lives, because he's going to lead us step by step. And he has sent Jesus, our Lord and Savior, into the world that we may know from Jesus words, important lessons that we all learn in Sunday school and Bible class about following God. So let's take that memory verse now, just one more time before we sing your song. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And now we come to the children's hymn, Father, I Place Into Your Hands.
Thank you.
And that's a wonderful song. And I always think about the boys and girls, the young people who are in the juvenile justice system at the moment whenever we sing that song, because that became our anthem during assemblies at Rathgale, which is now called Woodlands. And that became our anthem at assemblies. Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. We're now going to come to our reading. It's going to be read for us by Isabel Walker and Angela Martin, because it's quite a long portion of scripture. It's coming from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, through to chapter 6, verse 27. So Isabel and Angela are going to come up together and read this for me.
Let's hear the spoken word of the Lord. Joshua 5, starting at verse 13, the fall of Jericho. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you with us or with your enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell faceward on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a loud blast on the trumpets, have all your people ready and give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city, with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All the time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua has commanded his people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling at once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there.
Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So, on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will have the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out, and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced the solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land.
Thank you very much, Isabel and Angela, for reading the scriptures for us today. We come now to our prayers for others, our time for intercessions. Let us bow together. Gracious Father God, we thank you for your call that we may be a people engaged in your ministry and in your will. We thank you for the gift of prayer, and if we only understood how much and how precious prayer is, we would pray without ceasing. And that is the call to us, that we would pray without ceasing as we go into special times of praying and of studying scripture at home, and as we live our day in a God consciousness, asking you at every point and turn for help and strength. Lord, we pray that we will have that mind. We were thinking today, O God, of the young people in the juvenile justice system as we sang the children's hymn together. we became increasingly mindful of them. We pray, Lord God, for young people still within the system for whatever reason. And we also pray, Lord God, for young people now grown up, living their lives, and we pray that they have valued the investment and the input and the encouragement that came from their time with us. We know that many have come back and have openly shared what a difference for good time in Rathgael or Woodlands, Lisnevin, was for them. So we continue to pray over the staff within the juvenile justice system. We pray for them all with their many different responsibilities and their areas of expertise. We pray, Lord God, that you will use them mightily in the ministry towards children and young people who need help and support. To that end, O Lord, we also think of our regular day schools, who the teenagers and the primary schoolers, younger again, needing the support and the encouragement and the investment and skills of their teachers for learning and for the building up of confidence, build up that willingness to try something new, to hone the skills of listening and taking in what is important to learn. Lord, we pray over the young minds being trained, the young lives being encouraged at the moment. We are delighted that schools are back and meeting, that children are with their friends in their classes, and we pray for that greater and greater opening up of opportunity within our school system, our college system, and wider society. Lord, we pray for those who have difficult decisions to make, those who have particular responsibilities to uphold. We know that in the political realm, that has not been easy. We have constantly prayed for a listening to all expert scientists, that there may be that important balancing out of all of that which goes to make political policy, to guide lives, protect lives. Lord God, we pray that the many voices that are calling to be heard may be heard in these times, that there may be a greater learning, not only for now, but for what is ahead. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word throughout the world. Fellowships, large and small, meeting throughout the world. We pray, Lord Jesus, for you to hold people who are struggling in places where the name of Jesus isn't readily accepted, where there can be forms of discrimination expressed against churches. We pray, Lord God, your divine protection. We pray for your divine provisions. So too do we pray for the organizations working hard to coordinate support for the persecuted church. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering at home and further away due to illness, due to upset, due to great difficulty. Lord, would you be their strength and their help? We, from our news channels, know that there are many who are suffering at this time. Our prayers are not only for ourselves. In a moment of silence now, we raise up to you situations which we are aware, people that we are thinking about, we raise them up to you in this silent time. And so we now unite our voices in the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we celebrate our faith in this wonderful anthem, hymn of our Christian faith, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. Well, I have chosen for myself a much shorter reading. Now that all the hard work has been done by the ladies, I have chosen a reading now that is from Joshua chapter 8, and it's just two verses, 18 and 19. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Hold out toward Ai the javelin that is in your hand, for into your hand I will deliver the city." So Joshua held out his javelin toward Ai. As soon as he did this, the men in the ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward. They entered the city and captured it and quickly set it on fire. We thank God for his word. Gracious Father, we pray for wisdom as we consider the readings of today. Lord, we sense in these readings your mighty power, your sense of purity, the call that was there to cleanse in those times. Lord, we pray that we will be able to draw lessons about spiritual preparation, about spiritual battle. We pray, Lord God, that we will be true to your word. And we pray that we will take home from this service and our thinking all that is truly from your hand for our Christian living today. In Jesus' name, amen. Most cultures living with a hostile neighbor, either within their boundaries or beyond their lines, have somewhere lurking in their psyche a very real fear of being attacked and taken over or even ethnically cleansed from the face of the earth. This is because most nationalities appreciate, even from history, that to one degree or another, this has been an attempted reality as one people group, for whatever reason, and usually fired by fear, threatens another nation. Tribal civilizations, ancient and civilizations in our current day, along with long-standing empires that we have studied from our history courses, recognize as to how precarious and unpredictable life can be. Here today and gone in the metaphorical tomorrow, and in some cases not so metaphorical. So as a motor car has a big front windscreen, wipers and water and lights for forward progression in the light of the day and through the darkness of the night, so also are the two wing mirrors and the inside mirror and heated rear window integral to the design of observing who is coming up from behind and alongside. And so it is with nations and subcultures within nations. Awareness of and alertness to the currents within society and potential invasive waves from outside is the stuff of wisdom. To be naive, on the other hand, is irresponsible. Because to be naive about building threats offsets early peace initiatives and protection measures. We cannot be naive as governments or as citizenship. We do have to be a people aware and careful. The Hebrews have now crossed the Jordan, with the powerful miracle of the water flow having been halted upstream by the Lord. The presence and power of God is with Joshua, successor to Moses, and this impressive cohort of people and livestock are now placing their feet on the earth of the promised land. The new generation has succeeded the old grumblers who had found it so hard, despite provision after provision, miracle after miracle, victory upon victory, to trust the Lord, their deliverer and their provider. So their desert wanderings had taken 40 years in what should have been accomplished in 6 months. God took them around the lessons of spiritual knowledge and warfare again and again and again, and he raised the new generation in the desert. Now it is time to cross over, as God had promised to the patriarchs. Joshua had, in chapter 1, of Joshua being reminded of his responsibility to obey God's law given on Mount Sinai to Moses. The new leader was also fortified by the assurance that God the Lord was with him to equip and to prosper him. And yet, Joshua was called on a number of occasions to be courageous, very courageous, suggesting that challenges lay ahead. As instructed, the priests with the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of the people and stood in the Jordan River, Joshua 3:14. And as verse 15 reminds, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So this wasn't a trickle around the ankles. This was flood stage, with a river flowing fast, emphasizing the miracle of the halted waters, verse 16, piled up in a heap. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho on dry ground to the soil of Gilgal, where they built an altar of 12 stones, each one set in place by representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel, as taken from the bed of the Jordan River. But there is more to be done before God issues his battle instructions to Joshua. Firstly, the new generation of Israelite males must be circumcised. And secondly, as chapter 5 and verse 10 says, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. And the very next day, God's provision of manna and quail ceased, as the people for the first time ate the roasted grain of their new homeland. It is then, and only then, when God's deliverance is remembered and God is revered, that Joshua meets the commander of the army of the Lord, chapter 5, verse 13, and as in the case of Moses at the burning bush, so now also in the case of Joshua, his sandals must be removed, for the place where you are standing is holy. And so the conquest scene is set for the defeat of the city of Jericho, with its very impressive walls, what prophetic symbolism do we take from this conquest? What lessons lie in here for us as Christian people in today's church? Well, the first thing that comes to me is the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. For it is according to God's ceremonial encircling of Jericho for 6 successive days with trumpets blowing that the walls of this fortress are broken and breached. No massive boulder pelting catapults, no assault engines, no battering rams, just ceremonial encircling, obedience to God's word, the trumpeting and the warrior shouts, and of course, foremost, the leading of the Ark of the Covenant, representing God's presence with his people. The battle is the Lord's. And on the 7th day, the walls collapse and the Israeli army invade and conquer. I'm sure as they approached the walls of Jericho, they were faced with a formidable task, and they were wondering to themselves, how on earth do we breach this fortress and overcome? Translating this across to our lives today as Christian people, no doubt looking up at some situations and wondering, how on earth will we overcome this situation, this challenge? God has shown us in this story the importance of trusting him, of living according to his word, and of sharing his instructions. Now, the instructions were shared by the leaders, and the people were faithful to what God's word was teaching them. Today, we are people of Scripture. We continue to open up God's word together, and we learn so much about God's will, God's way, God's purposes, that we are encouraged to be wise and careful in the way that we live. And today we are living in a much more liberalized society. And I'm afraid to say that not all of it, not all of the decisions, practices, and even new policies can Christians walk with easily. And we find ourselves as a people of faith and prayer, asking God to lead us that there may be victories over that which may not be of his will for our lives in society. Interesting. You see, it's always going to be a challenge, isn't it? Life in reality is going to be a challenge, and the drift and the current of society, which perhaps pays less heed to the word of God, will therefore be a drifting society, a drifting leadership. So it is incumbent upon the church to take the stand, to be on the ground, to be listening to God and to be sharing God's word and God's ways within the world of men and women. It's not always a welcome voice in wider society. It's not always a voice that's encouraged, but the more the church remains the church, listening to God first, praying for wisdom, praying for grace, praying for the right tone as we move forward to share what we believe, to change society, like the old evangelical reformers changed even working practices, you know, from your economic and social history, lessons and books, the way Roundtree and Cadbury and all the others managed to reach out, change things. In the way that schools then started to keep children longer, not let them go to become children who were opening trapdoors in the mines all day to let trucks go through filled with coal. These children were brought into schools, taught, encouraged. And on many of those early certificates, it would have been written there, can read and write. Can read and write. The big qualifications of the day. Slavery disappeared because Christian people, Wilberforce and so on, took their stand and realized that slavery was wrong. That wouldn't have happened unless the Christian voice had kept going, kept pushing, kept pressing. And today, in many, many ways, through many different organizations, Christian voices are pressing our prayers for the church in persecuted places, and the fact that there are organizations that encourage us to write and to send aid, helping people. Third World Relief organizations such as Christian Aid and Tear Fund, wonderful organization, Fields of Life, and many others. So faith and prayer and action is what God is calling us for, obedient action. There comes that time when we come from our knees to that position of doing in the name of the Lord. That hasn't stopped in the world in which we live today, praying, seeking His wisdom, and then doing in the name of the Lord. Then the second point, building on the battle belongs to the Lord, we come to God cleanses the camp. He calls us to be a people prepared, not just to rush out there and in a sort of half-cooked way, maybe cause more trouble than not because of our tone and we go out half-informed. No. The church is to be a people where the scriptures teach us people are built up in their faith and in their knowledge of Christ so that we go out into the wider world with a bit more than a hazy notion. We're going out into the world not with a hazy notion, but with spiritual fortification, God's word. You notice that we emphasis that had been bringing of late to different congregations and my own congregations, where we are not only listening to God's word, but learning God's word. And so in many churches today, they are creating memory menus. It might be a Christmas memory menu, an Easter memory menu, to help to get us past things like, I think it says somewhere in the Bible that, didn't it say somewhere that, you know, that the Messiah would come and he would be badly punished and he would even be pierced? It says that somewhere in the Bible, and we're getting beyond that to talk about Isaiah and the wonderfulness of Isaiah speaking 750 years before Jesus came into this world. We come away from the hazy notions to the name of the prophet, the place in his book, what he actually said. This is very important for the church. Because we may not understand everything about the world in which we live, fascinating world in many ways, but we can share with the world the wonderful foretellings and fulfillments. So the second point is God cleanses and prepares the camps and seeks with the utter obedience of Israel to knock down all that which was not of his will. This passage speaks of cleansing. It speaks of obedience. It's hard reading, actually. But God had a purpose. God was making a statement through his people. You see, his plan all along would be that his people would be a light to the nations, that they were walking in the name of the living God in a world of many beliefs and philosophies. Sound familiar? We are walking in the name of the living God today in the midst of many opinions and philosophies and perceived spiritualities. Even going in for a coffee last week, I found somebody behind the till talking to me about spiritualities. It opens up great opportunities, doesn't it, to be a people prepared. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we are moving forward into the cleansing of the camp. And that calls us also to look into ourselves, to see if there is anything within me, to see if there is anything within you that God wants to deal with. That fear, that inclination, that pride, that lust, that double speaking, that lack of compassion. Whatever it is in our lives, I'm sure there must be stuff in all of us that God continues to put his finger on and say, look, let's deal with that so that your testimony may be even more powerful for me. How painful it is for us in our churches when friends fall by the wayside. What a wonderful thing to bring them back into the fold of the faith with compassion and with encouragement. Joshua, point your javelin. Just point it towards the next challenge. And as you point it, understand, I am with you. We point to the challenges in our society. We point to the challenges in our lives. And we remember that God is with us. Let us pray. So, Father, as we continue to live and have our being in this modern world of so much technology, of so much human progression, scientific discovery, Lord, what we do recognize with the wars and with the vulnerabilities, with the discriminations, is that the heart of man is still essentially, without you, a most vulnerable heart. So may we continue our core ministry of reaching into the heart in your name, reaching in with your truth, with your call, so that we may do things well in education, at law, in agriculture, in politics. Lord, that we may be a people listening to the living God in every area of life. This is our prayer. And may the people of Ballycrocken continue to be an important part of your spiritual army today by prayer and vision and courage and compassion, pointing out towards the challenges of life, but knowing that you are with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The closing praise is "When We Walk with the Lord." And now may grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.